Hi, Misfits. This is Kevin.
And this is Kate.
Welcome to Horrorwood.
It does feel weird going from that because I never know what to say. I'm just like,
I know. Hi. Hey, y'all. This is Kevin and Kate. And today, no, it's fine.
Okay.
Today was an eclipse, Kate.
It was.
So, well, not when you're listening.
Well, yeah, but when we're recording
when
this,
we're recording
it's
this,
the day of the big old solar eclipse.
Oh, yes, it was.
Which I did not have glasses to watch.
I did. Again, I should have been like, did you see it?
Oh my God, no, like that's not your responsibility. And also I tried to get the glasses from Warby Parker where they were supposedly giving them out and they were closed when I went. So I blamed them, obviously. And
They were too busy staring at the sun.
They were. I watched Tom Skilling, good old Tom Skilling on the old WGN. And he was all I needed. And he made me feel like I was right there next to him. And he went to Carbondale, wherever they had the totality.
Oh, that is right. Carbondale.
So that's where he was broadcasting from. And so I watched the whole thing with him and I felt so good about it.
Nice. Well, yeah, one of my coworkers like went down to Indiana today.
So they were saying that Airbnbs, like along the path of totality, were just like crazy booked.
That's insane. I mean, yeah. I could understand wanting to experience the full effect.
For sure.
Because it goes black.
Yeah.
Which is so cool.
Yeah. I mean, the sky definitely looked creepy. And
it was a weird atmosphere.
It was eerie.
Color change. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It was eerie.
Yeah. Yeah, now we're on the other side of that.
The eclipse has eclipsed.
We have moved forward and onward.
We have a Patreonian.
Yep, we sure do.
We have a new Patronian.
Yes.
We have a new Patronian. There we go.
Yeah, there it is.
Oh, that was almost.
It was kind of on the downhill side of things.
But let's bring it back up. It was almost a peculiar.
Oh, if y'all didn't hear that episode.
Don't.
No, it's
go
so
back.
Good. That part, that was Hitchcock. I rewound that part when I was editing so many times. And I was like, Matt, you have to hear this.
Oh, my God.
It was so good. But who's our new Patronian?
Our new Patronian is Kate Moore.
Hi, Kate Moore.
And I know Kate because we went to high school together.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah, in West Virginia. I hope you're doing well. It's good to hear from you. We were really close in high school, for sure.
Oh, awesome. Thank you for supporting us. And yeah, thanks for being a listener.
Yeah.
She's one of our accomplices.
She's an accomplice. She's here. I love it.
Great. So thank you.
Thank you. All right, on to the episode, Kate.
Okay. For anyone who's still listening, here we go.
Here we go.
Finally.
Well, today... So when this is coming out, this is going to be Monday, April 15th.
Okay.
And that...
Oh, tax day.
Tax day. Oh, shit.
So here's a fun episode
for you
guys.
When you guys are freaking out on your taxes, come on over to Horrorwood.
As soon as you drop that into the mailbox.
Right. No, send it in, please.
Like right now.
Today. This is your reminder. But also, the other tax day, it is the 112th anniversary... of the sinking of the RMS Titanic.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. To the day.
Yesterday.
No, today, actually.
The 15th?
Yeah. So that's a myth. I looked it up because I thought, when I text you, I was like, oh, it was the 14th. It hit the iceberg on April 14th at 11 p.m. It didn't sink until 2 a.m.
Wow. That's harrowing to think that for 3 hours they scrambled.
Oh, absolutely.
Ooh.
It's insane. It's terrifying. I mean, and this is one of the biggest events in history, almost.
Yeah.
So I'm not going to go through the full events of what happened that night.
I mean,
night.
I think we all know what happened.
Right. I am going to give a brief synopsis of what happened just to, you know, jog people's memories and, you know, maybe you haven't heard of it. I don't know. what
if you haven't heard of the sinking of the Titanic, the education system has failed you.
And I'm swooping in to help.
That's true. Good job.
So sit back, children, and let's listen to a tale of horrors.
Oh. But let's say what your episode is actually about is going to be about...
It's about the movie. There's a thing that happened during filming of the movie that I'm going to talk about today.
Awesome.
And I'll get to it. But I want to give you backstory on Titanic and the movie real quick,
okay,
just to lay the groundwork for what we're doing. I mean, I know it well. Don't get me wrong. I fucking love this movie, which I'll talk about.
You meant you know the ship well, and then you were like, I fucking love. And I was like, Kevin, that's
No, that's disrespectful. No, I wouldn't say that. Yeah. So the RMS Titanic was a British passenger liner that embarked on a maiden voyage from Southampton, England to New York City.
New York City?
New York City!
Also, real quick, my dryer is going on the other side of that wall where you're sitting.
Yeah.
So if it gets loud, let me know. I should hear it through here.
Oh, I can't even.
It's probably
going to
like buzz soon. Okay.
Yo, you're good.
Okay.
No worries.
Sometimes when it gets towards the end of the cycle, it's like boom, 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 boom.
So, yes, it set sail on April 10th, 1912, and it was regarded as one of the most luxurious and advanced ships of the time.
Yeah.
It boasted a state-of-the-art amenities and was promoted as unsinkable due to its watertight compartments at the bottom of the ship. However, tragedy struck in the early hours of April 15th, 14th into 15th, 1912, when the Titanic collided with an iceberg in the North Atlantic Ocean, about 400 miles south of Newfoundland. The impact caused a lot of damage to the ship's hull, compromising all of those watertight compartments that were supposed to make it unsinkable.
Right, so not so much with the
watertightness. Not so much with the watertightness. People have confused the date of the sinking, which is what I just said. The ship struck the iceberg at 11:40 p.m. on April 14th, and then finally fully sank at 2:20 a.m.
Mm.
Despite efforts to mitigate the damage, the ship sank as the ship lacked an adequate number of lifeboats for all passengers and crew. There was a panic, and approximately 2,224 people were on board.
Ooh.
The limited number of lifeboats led to a chaotic scramble for survival. On that fateful morning, the Titanic's stern rose into the air as the bow plunged beneath the waves. The ship broke apart and sank, leaving many passengers and crew stranded in the icy waters of the North Atlantic.
Mm.
The RMS Carpathia, responding to distress signals, arrived on the scene and rescued over 700 survivors from lifeboats and floating debris. However, the Titanic sinking resulted in the tragic loss of more than 1,500 lives, making it one of the deadliest maritime disasters in history.
Yeah.
So that's the Titanic. Now on to the movie. The tragic occurrence was further memorialized by director James Cameron in the movie Titanic.
I don't know why I laughed the way you said that. It just, your face with it was really funny.
Yes, the movie. I was saying that this was it for me when it came out, Kate. I was obsessed.
Really?
Fucking obsessed.
I did see it in the movie theater. I remember that. And my sister really loved it, so we got the VHS tape.
I remember ordering the VHS tapes from QVC when they
first
came out.
It
was a double tape.
I remember that.
It was part one and part two, and I remember seeing it on TV, and I was like, Mom, I have to.
That's a cart.
It's me. I remember my mom and my grandma would always go to the movies on the weekend. Like, we would go up usually on a Sunday to visit my grandma in Marietta, Ohio, and we would go to the movies, like, every weekend. And my mom and grandma would go see, like, whatever big drama was out at the time,
yeah.
And then I would go see probably Spice World.
Probably.
That I saw like eight times in the movie theater. Sometimes you can just stay if nobody comes in.
Hey.
And watch it twice.
Great.
But I remember them liking it. And then I think it picked up and I was like, oh, I'll go see it. I think I went to see it with a friend from school and then obsessed. I saw it like five times in the movie theater.
Wow.
I loved it.
Because I have a thing about confined spaces and also water. It was really hard for me to watch.
It's a scary movie for you.
Yeah. Watching it in the theater was a lot. And maybe that's what caused my fear of all of that was that movie.
Oh, also, I think I probably had a little bit of a crush on Leonardo DiCaprio. I don't think I fully
understood
it. As an 11-year-old, knew that?
Sure.
My body knew. I didn't know.
Okay.
Oh, side note, there's a Titanic exhibition going on right now.
Yeah.
At the Old Orchard Mall in Skokie.
Why is it at a mall?
I don't know.
I thought it was at a museum.
I don't think so. No, we should go.
Yeah, I mean, that's not far.
Let's go. I love a day trip. So the movie Titanic is a poignant romantic drama, again, for people who might not have seen it, that recounts the ill-fated voyage of the Titanic. The film follows Jack Dawson, a charming and penniless artist, and Rose DeWitt Bucater, a young aristocrat trapped in a loveless engagement with Billy Zane.
Are we sure it's pronounced Bucater?
No.
Because that does not feel very upper class to me.
Bucater. Bucata.
Bucate.
Bucate.
Bucatini.
Yum.
We're unhinged.
Fagatini. My favorite pasta, y'all.
No.
The film stars Leonardo DiCaprio, Kate Winslet, Billy Zane, Kathy Bates, Frances Fisher, Gloria Stewart, Bill Paxton, Bernard Hill, David Warner, and Victor Garber. Big names. Big names. A lot of people, big names, big movie. A lot of money. Set against the backdrop of the doomed ship, Jack and Rose's blossoming romance defies social barriers and flourishes for a little bit. However, their love faces challenges as the ship collides with that pesky iceberg.
That bitch.
Ugh. And as the Titanic begins to sink, Jack and Rose must navigate the chaos and tragedy unfolding around them, trying to survive.
Yeah.
As I said, this movie has to be one of the biggest movies of all time. According to IMDb, the movie has grossed over $2 billion since its release.
That's a lot of dollars.
Yes, $2 billion since its release on December 19th, 1997. Mm. James Cameron put a ton of research into this film, going on 12 dives to the actual Titanic
site. I mean, I got to give it to him because that's a lot, because he went down with cameras and stuff.
He did, yeah. I mean, that footage you're seeing at the beginning is actual footage that he took one of the dives. Yeah. The first time he went down there, he got all the shots that he needed, but I think he kept going down for further research and to get more into it.
He just couldn't help himself.
Couldn't help. As soon as he came to the surface after that first dive, he broke down into tears at the sheer magnitude of the tragedy that had occurred there. It's insane. All right. So now we're getting to the story. Now that you have all the backstory about the movie, what the Titanic is, welcome to a poisoning. On the final day of shooting for the legendary film Titanic in Dartmouth, Nova Scotia.
Was it the final day?
No. Final day of filming in Nova Scotia.
So I was going to say, I thought they had more days after that.
They did. They went to Mexico after this.
Okay.
Which is just across the bay from Halifax. In Nova Scotia, an incident unfolded that became one of Hollywood's most intriguing mysteries. It was around midnight on August 9th, 1996. Again, we're at dark night time. It's the transition from August 8th to 9th. I just want to say that because when I was doing my research in all the articles, it was like on August 8th or August 9th. It was the night in between the two.
Okay.
Midnight.
Got it.
It's August 9th. Please believe me.
I believe you.
Thank you, Kate. The crew was hungry, and they needed to take a quick meal break. The set worked late into the night. This was essentially their lunchtime.
Yeah.
So their dish of choice, seafood chowder.
Gross.
Honestly, when I was reading all these articles, no one seems to really focus on what was actually what seafood was in the chowder. Like, some people say clam chowder. Some people just say it was kind of a mussel-y.
Kind of like a gross.
And other people just say it was lobster.
There's a big difference between clam chowder and a lobster bisque.
Can we have that on a t-shirt?
Yes.
With little lobsters.
Yes. I can throw down on some lobster bisque.
Oh, lobster bisque, Kate. Lobster anything to me.
And depending on where the clam chowder is from, sure, I can indulge. But not all clam chowders are created equally. So you can't just call a seafood chowder, it was either lobster or clams. No, there's a big diff.
Well, there was also something else in it that probably overshadowed.
Uh-oh.
We'll get to it. But no, I agree with you. A clam chowder, nah. Lobster bisque, gimme. Shellfish nonetheless. And it seems quite fitting that the movie is largely based in the Atlantic Ocean. But I'm ching.
I was going to make a comment about that, but I'm glad that I you made did. It for you. Thank you.
The crew was enamored with the food. It was apparently fucking delicious.
Oh, okay.
Like, they loved it.
They were like, give me more of this chowder.
They gobbled it up.
I need some of those oyster crackers.
Nom, nom, nom. Oh, oyster crackers.
But only the good ones.
The good, there, you can find some shitty ones out there.
They're either too salty or too flat. But you know the good ones I'm talking about. They're kind of like puffed up a little
Absolutely. Bit. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I remember getting those at Denny's, I think.
Oh, God. I haven't been to a Denny's in years. Either.
Man. Some people had 3 or 4 bowls worth.
Damn, that must have been some good chowder.
Chowder. But then,
oh,
people started to feel funny.
A little just iffy.
A little, yeah, like a little off.
A little some uneasy.
They had commenced going back to work, but the crew was having a very hard time focusing on their jobs.
Because they had the shits, or what happened?
Things were getting weird.
Okay.
So what was happening? According to director James Cameron, dozens of the film's cast and crew members were unknowingly exposed to PCP.
Damn.
The chowder had been spiked.
That's wild. Oh. And they were like, this shit is good. Give me seconds.
Yeah. Yep. PCP, which you know I'm going to tell you all about.
I'm glad you are because I actually don't know that much about it.
I didn't either, actually. I know it's angel dust and it's delicious. No, I'm kidding.
Wow.
I don't do a PCP, but I would never shame someone who did. Anywho.
Covering all the bases.
I have to go around to make sure I don't get canceled. I love all of you. And you better know that. PCP, short for phencyclidine, or angel dust,
okay,
is a potent and illicit mind-altering drug known for its unpredictable and often dangerous effects on the human body and mind.
What are some of the dangerous effects?
I will tell you.
Thank you.
Initially developed as an anesthetic in the 1950s,
oh,
PCP's medical use was discontinued due to its severe side effects. Mm. When abused, PCP induces hallucinations,
oh,
dissociation from reality, and altered sensory perceptions.
I mean, honestly, I could go for some of that right now.
I agree.
I mean, I'm not going to do drugs to get there, but Kate, I would like
to go out tonight and try PCP.
I'll
make some calls. Users may experience feelings of invincibility.
Oh.
And detachment from pain.
That sounds great. Detachment from pain.
Leading to risky behaviors and potential harm to themselves and others.
Sure.
PCP's effects can vary widely from person to person, making it a particularly... I focused too hard on saying particularly correctly, and then when I went to say hazardous... That
didn't
come out.
Yeah, I noticed. And so did all of you.
And leave it in. Don't edit this out.
Plan to.
Making it a particularly hazardous substance.
Mm.
Its use carries significant risks, including addiction, overdose, and long-term cognitive impairment.
Yikes, that's scary.
Due to its high potential for abuse and harmful consequences, PCP is classified as a Schedule 2 controlled substance in the United States.
Is Schedule 1 the worst or highest? Like, I don't understand the schedules.
I'll look it up.
You wrote it. You ought to know.
It doesn't matter. It's bad. It's a bad drug that the U.S. government says no.
Okay, got it.
Things started to get weird. And one of the assistant directors caught wind of a situation.
A problem.
They divided the crew into 2 groups. Good crew and bad crew.
Wait, seriously?
Yes.
So was the bad crew like the ones having hallucinations or what separated the crews?
I will tell you. According to crew member Jason Clark, quote, "We had a room for the grips and electricians, and one of the guys started talking really hyper. He's a big guy, like 6'4", and he says, 'Do you guys feel okay? Because I don't.
Oh, no.
I feel like I'm on something, and believe me, I would know.' He was just chattering like that. And just as he was saying this, we saw James Cameron run by the door and this extra running behind him. And he was yelling, 'There's something in me. Get it out.' So good was fine. Bad was on drugs.
There's something. get it out. Oh my God. That's what I say after I've had my morning coffee.
Same. Same. Clark didn't eat any of the chowder because he had a shellfish allergy.
Oh, okay.
So he got lucky. Marilyn McAvoy was a standby McAvoy. Painter on set and was part of the crew that ate the forbidden chowder.
Okay.
Here
forbidden.
That was my word. Here is a portion of her account from a Vice article from May 14th, 2017. Quote, I needed some stuff upstairs as well as some other equipment down in another area. And I remember just walking around trying to figure out the best way to get my supplies. She had just eaten the chowder.
Okay.
And she was like, things just seemed fuzzy.
Sure.
While I was trying to figure out what was going on, everyone else seemed to be going outside. They were all gathering outside of the giant doors of the building that we were working in. I also heard later on that as soon as James Cameron realized something had been put in the chowder, he ran up to his room and forced himself to throw up.
Mm.
It was actually kind of comical. It was like that game kids play Red Rover. There were people who were okay, who hadn't gotten any effects yet, and the people who were getting high. And there were these two lines apart from each other, with some of the people in the good line slowly trickling into the bad line.
Sorry, I don't know why this is so funny to me. It's horrible.
It was at about this point that people realized that everyone who had eaten the chowder were experiencing the effects of some sort of hallucinogen.
Wow.
In recent interviews marking the Titanic movie anniversaries, Cameron himself confirmed the bizarre events. Mm-hmm. And he also talked to Vanity Fair about it. Quote, this is a 100% true story, he stated, adding a cautionary note, you haven't lived until you've been high on PCP, which, by the way, I do not recommend to anyone. Cameron didn't suspect PCP at first.
Well, who would? That's not the first thing your mind's going to go to.
Sure. But instead, something called a red tide. I'll tell you all about red tide.
Thank you.
A red tide refers to a natural phenomenon caused by the rapid growth of certain species of algae, typically dinoflagellates.
It just sounds like dinosaurs farting.
I love that. In coastal waters. I had to finish my sentence.
Okay.
These algae contain pigments that can turn the water red, brown, or orange. Hence the name red tide.
Mm-hmm.
While not all red tides are harmful, some species of algae produce toxins that can accumulate in shellfish and other seafood, posing risks to human health if consumed.
Mm-hmm.
Filter-feeding shellfish, such as clams, mussels, and oysters, can accumulate these toxins in their tissues, potentially leading to illness or poisoning if ingested by humans.
Do I have to worry about oysters now? Because I like oysters.
I don't know the anatomy of shellfish off the top of my head, but filter feeding, I think, means they like suck in water and it filter out their food from it. And then that's where it accumulates. So I think if you would clean it correctly, you could probably get rid of it.
All right. All right. I can stay with oysters.
It's okay, Kate. Don't stop eating oysters.
Can't stop, won't stop.
Another t-shirt.
There it is.
A big oyster. Can't stop, won't stop. As a result, authorities often monitor shellfish harvesting areas during red tide events.
Okay.
And may impose temporary closures or restrictions to protect public health.
All right.
So we see them. We're like, that's a bad thing.
There is something in place to keep us safe.
To keep us safe from them. So who spiked the fucking clam chowder, Kate?
What bitch did this?
There are several theories around who did it. Was it a crew person who was just super pissed after being fired? Could it have been the caterers? No one knew why this happened or who did it. James Cameron shared his own theory, suggesting it may have been an act of retaliation.
Mm.
Quote, we have a pretty strong suspicion of who it was, although it was never proven. We had fired a crew member the day before because they were creating trouble with the caterers.
Oh.
So we believe the poisoning was this idiot's plan to get back at the caterers, whom, of course, were promptly fired the next day because of the incident.
Oh, that sucks.
Yeah.
I didn't even think about that the caterers would be fired because of this.
Yeah.
Ugh.
Regarding the caterers being held responsible, Earl Scott, who was CEO of UNAD, UNAD Quality Foods Limited at the time, who was the catering company, denied that it could have been one of the workers. He pointed the finger at the Hollywood crowd instead. He's like, no, my caterers didn't do that. One of y'all did it. And he said, quote, I don't think it was purposefully done to hurt somebody. It was done like a party thing that got carried away. That was what he thought of the whole situation.
When he says the Hollywood crowd, does he just mean one of the production members?
One of the crew.
Okay.
Yeah. Because the catering company was separate from
Was local to Nova Scotia or wherever he said
they believe were. So. But he was pointing the blame at, like, the movie crew.
Okay.
Despite speculation, Cameron dismissed notions that he was the target due to his reputation.
Oh, so
people
thought...
were also thinking that it was done to get back at James Cameron. So he said, quote, of course, the operating theory was that I was such a psychomaniac that someone was trying to get back at me, but I reject that theory out of hand for obvious reasons, he quipped.
Can you imagine having to be like, but I'm not a psychomaniac?
Well, here's the thing. It doesn't sound like James Cameron was the easiest person to work for.
Ooh.
Cameron recently joined Masterclass, an online platform where people at the top of their field provide insights into their careers and their working methods.
I mean, I'm not on it. I've used it like as a...
Kate and I are going to provide a masterclass on podcasting.
How to work in a closet.
Right. Girl, that was me in high school.
Oh.
You just hear True Colors in the back faintly. One of the most notable revelations from Cameron's masterclass is his candid admission of being a, quote, tin pot director on set, contrasting his approach with that of the affable director Ron Howard, who he admires for his kindness.
Tin pot director? I've never heard that phrase.
I've never heard it either.
What does that mean? Sorry to make you look up what you wrote.
Inferior. Feeling inferior or unimportant to other people. A tin pot dictator.
Huh. Okay. So can you read me his statement again? His quote about that?
So one of the most notable revelations from Cameron's masterclass is his candid admission of being a tin pot dictator. Sorry, not director.
Oh. Okay.
On set. He was just an asshole. I think he's admitting to being mean.
Oh. Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And he was like, Ron Howard is great and he's kind and I wish I could be more like him.
Oh, wow.
While Cameron acknowledges his demanding nature, he regrets not fostering better working relationships with his cast and crew, expressing a desire to have listened more and been less autocratic.
Well, at least he recognizes that.
Yeah, no, I think it's great that he realized that afterwards.
Yeah.
So stories of Cameron's intense demeanor on set, such as those recounted during the filming of The Abyss, have circulated over the years, with actor Ed Harris expressing frustration at the director's methods.
Freud slip.
Oh my God.
What are you not telling me, Kevin?
Ed Harris allegedly refused to help promote the film after his experience with filming and Cameron.
Oh, wow. I hadn't heard that before.
I had neither, which I was surprised to read that. Also, it stated that Titanic was the most expensive movie ever made at
this
time.
I do remember that story out there.
Coming out, yeah. And appeared to mirror the ill-fated vessel it portrayed.
Oh.
James Cameron candidly expressed to The New Yorker a pervasive feeling of, quote, catastrophe around the whole production.
Ooh.
By the conclusion of post-production, the project had exceeded its budget by a staggering $100 million.
Oh, damn.
And lagged several months behind schedule.
I do remember hearing that it went on and on and on, but that several months that's a long-ass time.
Cameron's meticulous attention to period details led to lavish expenditures on authentic elements, real caviar and Edwardian carpeting.
Oh,
everything had to be extremely high quality. Clark, the crew guy who didn't eat the chowder, reminisces that even the meals on set were equally extravagant, reflecting the film's overall opulence. Huh. Hence that delicious seafood
chowder.
Delicious
PCP.
PCP.
Chef's kiss.
Among those who ingested the spiked chowder was actor Bill Paxton. Rest in peace.
R.I.P. Bill.
While the film's leads, Leonardo DiCaprio and Kate Winslet, were fortunately absent from the set at the time.
Okay.
However, for actor Bill Paxton, who portrays a modern-day treasure hunter in the film, the incident was certainly memorable for him. initially planning to dine on Italian food in his trailer that night, Paxton opted instead to share a bowl of chowder with Cameron.
They shared a bowl?
Yeah.
Okay.
Reflecting on the chaotic aftermath, Paxton recalls, quote, within 15 minutes after eating, the crew was all milling about. Some people were laughing, some people were crying, some people were throwing up.
Oh my God.
Mistaking the symptoms for food poisoning from tainted shellfish, Paxton swiftly joined a van bound for Dartmouth General Hospital. Mm. Quote, one minute I felt okay, he recounts. Quote, the next minute, I felt so goddamn anxious, I wanted to breathe in a paper bag. Cameron was feeling the same way.
That's terrifying when you don't know what's causing it.
Yeah. Paxton did not like being at the hospital. I think it was contributing to his anxiety, like just having to be in that sterile environment. And he said, quote, I said, Jim, I'm not going to hang out here. This is bedlam. he told the Los Angeles Times in 2015, I'm going to wander back down to set and just drink a case of beer, which is what I did. That seemed to help me.
Yeah. Drink a case of beer. It's going to help a lot of your
problems. Help a lot of things.
Unless you're an alcoholic, and then don't do that.
Don't do it. About an hour after eating, the bad group had expanded.
Oh, no.
Describing the scene at Dartmouth General, Dr. Rob Roy, who attended to several Titanic victims, noted, these people were stoned.
Oh.
They had no idea what was going on. That was his quote.
Was it just the crew, or like, were there actors, like extras?
Yeah,
or?
There was a couple extras. It was everybody who was working.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Though none suffered serious harm, allowing shooting to continue later that day. Recalling the chaotic scene, Cameron described the surreal sight of 85 crew members flooding into an empty emergency room.
Oh my God.
Quote, we don't know what's going on, he recounted.
Also, it's like midnight.
It's like 1 a.m. Yeah.
Oh my God.
Some of the crew was absolutely freaking out and losing their minds.
Yeah.
And some were having a blast. Set decorator Claude Roussel recounts grips running up and down the hallways doing wheelies in wheelchairs.
Amazing.
It seemed pretty chaotic over there.
You think?
Eventually, the affected were placed in individual cubicles. But up until the point, you could hear screaming, moaning, crying, wailing. Crew members were collapsed on tables and gurneys.
Oh my God.
Cameron said that a crew member had actually stabbed him in the face with a pen.
What? Yeah.
He got stabbed in the face with a pen.
Oh, shit.
And he said, quote, I'm sitting there bleeding and laughing.
I can just picture this scene.
It's insane. Like, he's just sitting there bleeding and laughing as all this stuff is just, like, happening around him in this emergency
room.
Cameron recounted that the DP, which that's director of production.
Director of photography.
Photography.
The cameraman, essentially.
Got you. Caleb Deschanel was leading the crew down the hall in a loud-ass conga line.
Is there security footage from this hospital? I want to see all of this.
It's too good.
A conga line, wheelies in wheelchairs. James Cameron has just been
stabbed.
And
remember, he ran out the door like, get it out of me.
Chaos. And Bill Paxton's like, I'm going to go have a
beer. I'm out. I'm going to go drink this away. Nurses at the hospital gave the patients liquid charcoal.
Okay.
Apparently, charcoal is used to treat poisoning because it helps prevent the poison from being absorbed from the stomach into the body. Mm. One of the crew members that ate 4 bowls was in the hospital until 10 a.m. the next day.
4 bowls. That shit must have been good.
That's what I'm saying, right? I always thought they used charcoal to induce vomiting, but I think I'm wrong.
Well, charcoal is like what water filters have in them to filter things through. So I think I hate myself that I know this, but Kristen Cavallari, back when she was on, what was it, Laguna Beach, or something.
Or the Hills,
one of those things. She would drink charcoal. Like they used to have, they probably still do have like charcoal drinks because she thought it like cleaned her out. So, I mean, there's...
Well, it stops your tummy from absorbing poison.
Well, that's good.
That's good. I don't know that you need it beside that. I'm not a nutritionist, though.
Who knows? If you drink charcoal...
If you drink charcoal, tell us.
Let us know.
In the comments.
How it's going.
I did use charcoal toothpaste there for a bit.
Oh, yeah. That's a thing.
That's good.
I've never tried it.
It's, yeah, I liked it. It definitely helped.
Oh, okay.
Upon returning to set, Clark, again, we go back to Clark.
Okay.
Jason Clark.
The one sober guy.
The one sober guy who's telling us all about what happened.
He's like, shellfish allergy saved my life.
And I'm going to tell you everything.
Amazing.
Clark recollects passing the time in a Winnebago until around 4 a.m. when things were starting to smooth back out.
You'd think they would just, like, call it a day. Like,
well, no, I think they, well, I'll get to it.
Okay.
So at 4 a.m., Cameron and Paxton made their entrance back to set.
Okay.
Quote, their eyes were beat red, like unbelievably, Clark recounts.
Oh.
Jim had a bottle of scotch and Bill Paxton had a bag of joints because he was a real stoner. I'm kind of laughing about it because I didn't eat the chowder and then I'm there in the trailer smoking a joint.
This is wild.
This is crazy.
Just another day at work.
Another day. Cameron expressed elation as they had been granted an extra day of production to complete a scene that had been delayed due to effects of the spike chowder. So they got an extra day.
Okay. I would hope.
Yeah. This whole thing became backstage lore as soon as people heard about it.
Mm.
And just like with the cost of making this movie, it created more bullshit for the execs at Paramount and Fox to deal with.
Oh, I'm sure they were pissed.
They were pissed. Those two companies were co-financing the movie.
Okay.
On August 27th, the Nova Scotia Department of Health sent a letter to one of the producers, John Landau, that confirmed there was peepees.
There was peepees?
There was peepees in the chowder.
Oh, no.
Ooh, yikes. No. On August 27th, the Nova Scotia Department of Health sent a letter to one of the producers, John Landau, that confirmed there was PCP dust in the chowder.
Mm.
Then the following day, on August 28th, the Halifax Regional Police Service announced an investigation.
Okay.
You can't just drug people.
You can't drug people,
I know we're laughing
guys.
About this, but like, you can't drug people.
PSA,
that's a crime.
PSA, you can't just do that.
PSA, no PCP.
Oh, look at you with all the letters. What was that?
I knocked into your...
Oh, it was just a hanger?
Hangers.
Oh, okay. I want to get out of this closet.
I love your closet, Kate. I always feel cozy in here.
It's a little too cozy for my taste.
I get it. Accusations were flying this way and that.
Yeah.
As we said when this first happened. And the production had been wrapping up in Nova Scotia and was heading down to Rosarito, Mexico. There was a massive reproduction of the ship on an outdoor soundstage.
Mm.
The thing is, nothing ever came from the investigation after 2 years.
Oh, wow.
So it was closed in February 1999. Cold case. They never figured it out who did it.
That's bananas.
Yeah. I tried to find more like on the actual investigation, like who they talked to, what they did. That info's not out there.
Yeah. How do you investigate that, I wonder?
I don't know. Clark said, Jason Clark said that a guy in the art department made t-shirts that had a little symbol of like a bowl of chowder and underneath it said good crew, bad crew.
I love that.
I know, right?
I kind of want one of those. Jason Clark, if you're out there, can you send me one?
Talk to us. And there you have it.
What do you think? Who do you think did it?
Oh, I think they're probably spot on with, I think James Cameron probably knows who did it. It was someone he probably fired.
Mm.
He wanted to get back at both him and the catering crew.
How can you be mad at caterers?
I don't know.
I wonder what happened there.
I wonder what happened too.
I think the investigators, they would have had to have interviewed the caterers.
I'm sure they did.
I really want to know what they said.
Yeah.
But we'll never know.
I did try to find it. It's not really out there.
Yeah. I'm sure it wasn't like publicized.
I don't think they publicized that investigation. PCP lace chowder and the Titanic panic.
The Titanic panic. I like that.
Don't forget the actual anniversary of the Titanic disaster is April 15th today when this comes out. And this is meant to be a light story around the remembrance of a great tragedy.
Thank you.
Yes.
That was great.
That was fun.
Yeah, that's wild. And man, I would give anything if there was security footage from that hospital. That's incredible. Honestly, if anyone out there was on that crew and experienced this, you can send us an email at horrorwoodpodcast@gmail.com.
Yes, please do.
Or you can comment on this episode and tell us about your experiences at
horrorwoodpodcast@gmail.com. Wait, what?
Oh, sorry. I messed it up. Or
I was like, wait, what?
Or you can comment on the post for this episode on Instagram, Facebook, or YouTube at
Horrorwood Podcast.
Or you can be like Kate Moore.
Kate.
And hop on over to Patreon at
patreon.com/Horrorwood Podcast.
Have a great week and get your taxes in.
And be careful around chowders.
And don't do PCP. I mean, if you're going to, be safe.
Be in a controlled environment where you can't get too crazy.
And don't do murder. And don't do pranks that put everyone in the hospital.
Yeah, don't drug people.
Don't do that. No.